appreciate you guys being here. Obviously, difficult ending to the season a couple days ago, but that doesn't take away from the amazing season that this group had. Going from 14 to 44 to 60 is an incredible accomplishment in two seasons and 60 wins and first place in the East. Incredible accomplishment for these guys, and you know, I think they learned a lot about one another, learned a lot about each other. You know, going into the All-Star break, being the number one seed, and then coming out, I think was different. We went from being from hunting teams to being the hunted in one season, and doesn't happen a lot, especially with a young team. And I think they realized and learned a lot about one another and what that actually means. And you don't learn that until you go through it. It's a completely different, it's a different mindset. It's a, psychologically, it's different knowing that you're getting the other team's best night in and night out. They're going to be prepared for you. And for a lot of teams, it's their championship game of their season. Teams that are not going into the playoffs, if they can say the number one team in the East, that gives them a lot. Individual team, individual players, but teams, coaches, and that was something new for our group. Special group, though, of individuals, special team, came to work every day. They really enjoyed it. I thought JB and his staff and all of our staffs did a tremendous job of creating an environment that these guys enjoyed coming into every day and felt that they were getting the best out of each other and out of themselves day in and day out. And I think that's why we got better as a team from the beginning to the end of the season. So a lot of positives to take away, a lot of successes from this season. Obviously, two All-Stars. Asar having the defensive year that he had, being on that first team, and then JV having the year that he had in terms of the Coach of the Year votes that he got and being Coach of the Year from his peers. I thought it was a tremendous accomplishment and, you know, worthy of note. But obviously, tough end of the season, but successful season overall. I think our guys did a lot of good things and valuable lessons learned. That these guys will, it stings. That last game will sting. It'll be painful for some time, but very rarely is there growth without pain. I think our guys felt that last season and took a step this season. I think they're going to do the same thing with this summer. Evaluate where they are individually. We'll put plans together, and those guys will attack them this summer just like they did last summer, and we'll come back better. So I just want to thank our JB and his staff for their time, effort, the dedication, what they've done for this organization and for our team has been tremendous in terms of laying the groundwork of what we're about, creating an identity. All of our staffs throughout spend a lot of times away from their family, so I just want to thank them. And lastly and most importantly, thank Mr. Tom Gores for his commitment and passion to this organization. So tremendous year, successful year, one that I'm incredibly proud of everybody in this organization, one to build on. So.
Yeah, Trajan, thanks for doing this. Last time we talked to you in February, you know, the topic was how big do you go after the trade deadline, and you noted that the team hadn't won a playoff game after this past playoff run, make it to the second round, and then obviously how they finished the regular season as well, as you noted. How has your view of the team updated as far as, I guess, its readiness and how much closer they are to achieving that ultimate goal of winning a championship?
Yeah, I you guys will have to look this up, but I think we were the youngest number one seed in the history of the NBA, or at least one of the youngest, so don't quote me on it, but I think that's pretty close. And so, obviously, we take all that into when we're thinking about everything, decisions to be made. This team is now, I think we won 7 games in this postseason. And 2 years ago, the team won 14 in the regular season. So when you take all that into perspective, this team has come a long ways in 2 seasons. And, you know, our job is to now evaluate our team, evaluate where we're at, and evaluate how we can get better. And that's what we're going to do.
Trajan, George, getting back to the deadline, a lot of people thought you needed that second score to be with Cade. You opted to, in your words, stay on the margins. Do you think the organization might have been, for lack of better terms, seduced by regular season, how good you guys were? Because, as you know, regular season and playoff basketball are completely different things, as we saw this postseason.
I think in the room we evaluate pretty objectively where we're at and where we think we're at and why we think we've been successful. I don't think there was a rock that was not overturned in terms of understanding where we're at and how we can move forward. We looked at different things. Different things weren't available. Some things were way too expensive for at that point, we felt. And we had a pretty good roster. We felt the move that we made helped us. Obviously, that player wasn't available for us in the postseason because of an injury, and I think that might have hurt us a little bit as well. It's not the only reason, but we went on a really good run. We won 7 games, and I think we were right there to win 8. Right, we were a couple minutes away from winning a game that would have had us playing tonight. So, there's a lot of successes. You know, you can't take away from that, and you can nitpick at certain things. But I think there's 60 wins and losing in the second round. I think if any of us would have said that back in September, we would have been pretty satisfied with that.
When you take a look at how to continue building this roster, of course, one of the biggest topics that you have to address is during upcoming. What can you share about how you're going to go about, evaluating not just the regular season but the playoff that he had, and what does the offseason look like from you in that standpoint?
Well, first of all, JD had a fantastic season. All-star, one of the biggest contributors to us being the number one seed. Darn near 20 points and 10 rebounds per game. An incredible year, an incredible leap from last year to this year because of the work that he put in last summer and his focus. And I have no doubt that we'll help him put a plan together, and he'll attack it this summer just like he did last summer, and he'll come back a better player from his experience not only during the regular season but also in the postseason, just like all of our guys will. So we look forward to coming together with his representation, getting a deal done, and for him continue to be a Piston.
Trajan, what do you think happened to JD specifically in the postseason? What did you see why his game dropped off so much in the second season as opposed to the regular season?
I think defenses took some things away from him, I think that's the biggest thing. A lot of the things that we did during the regular season, defenses made sure that he didn't get easy baskets close to the rim. I think that was the biggest thing offensively, but he battled in both series. I don't think it made him quit at all. He kept battling. He did a lot of things to help us win. I think if you were to ask him, was he the best version of himself, he would say, yeah, I didn't play the basketball that I would have liked to play. Sometimes that happens with young players in the league. But I think, like I said before, with all of our guys, we're going to learn from we're all going to learn from the positives and the negatives, takeaways, and we're all going to get better from that. But saying all that, he had a lot of success this season. He got a lot better from the previous season, a lot for him to be proud of and build upon.
JD mentioned sticking with JD through his struggles in the playoffs, and that a big part of that is that you and Tom affording him the opportunity to look at this team in the postseason more holistically, what's best for the team overall. Why is it important that you guys give him that freedom to be able to make those decisions?
Well, you mean JB?
Yeah.
Well, he's a head coach. I hire a coach for him to do the job. So once he's doing that job, we talk about things, and ultimately he's got to go out and make the decisions that he feels best for the success of the team at that given time. So.
Sorry, one more on JD. As you guys ponder what he might be worth on his next contract, how heavily do you weigh what you saw in the playoffs versus what you saw in the regular season this year?
Yeah, we'll talk about all that for sure.
Trajan, amongst the things you learned about your team this season, do you feel going forward now from 14 to 44 to 60 wins that there has to be some adjustments? Maybe everybody talks about getting a second score. That's more than just words. Is that something that you seriously have to look at now to take the next step?
We'll do a deep dive into what we feel made us successful, and what we feel, why we feel we came up a little bit short. A lot of people are looking at one game. I think if we would have won one game, you can't say, oh, we're going to play into just one game of success either. That's not always the answer either, right? So one game winning or one game losing, I don't think can define how you're going to move forward. So we'll take a holistic view of the roster. We're still super young. All of our guys are going to iterate better. They're going to all be better players next year than we were this year, just like we saw from last year to this season. So we'll take a deep dive. We'll figure out what we need to add. And we'll be, we'll, like I said, we'll step out. We'll look at 35,000 feet, and we won't look at us as a one seed. We'll look at us as how do we get better.
Hey, Trajan, are you, your timeline moved up since you said you went from 1440 to 60, whatever, the timeline to where there'll be maybe a possibility of an all-in move rather than I'm going to incrementally make this a better team?
We're going to evaluate that. We'll evaluate everything. We'll figure out what we feel is the right move for us at this time. I think it's a lot of options, but there's a lot of factors that go into making that move. Is it the player? Is it the time? The salary coming back, how many assets we have to give to get said player or players. There's a lot of things that come into the decisions that we're going to make and decisions we're going to need to make to get better.
Trajan, you mentioned AT and the success he had this season. What's kind of the big picture plan for him to continue progressing?
He was big time. I think he took a huge step last year. I think as the season went on, you saw how much he impacted the game on both ends of the floor. He put a lot of time into his offensive game last summer. I think he'll do the same this summer, and I think he'll come back with more confidence. But remember, kind of last year, it wasn't a full season for him. And so getting a full season under his belt and now being able to work a full summer. He worked summer, but it wasn't like he's going to this year. We won't have as many restrictions on him this summer as he had last summer. And so he's going to be able to go out and do some serious work.
He's excited about that, but you're not going to have to worry about Asar Thompson putting in work and competing. That's one thing.
He competes at a high level. He's team first. He's going to put in the work, and he's going to listen to the best way that he needs to put in the work. So we're excited about our future with him.
Trajan, you guys during the regular season won at about a 70% clip, but technically in the postseason won at a 50% clip. Those two different seasons, how do you balance one against the other and recognize not might have to diminish one of them to enhance the postseason record?
It's a tough way of putting it, right? You can always say, well, why did you come in first? Maybe you should have come in third, and it would have been a better matchup. Our guys don't think like that. Our guys are competitive. They're going to come out and try to win every game. That's the way they're going to continue. That's why it's a special group. It's a special set of individuals because they all have the same mindset. JB leads that. Again, we try to be better in every month that we were in the month from the month before. And we're going to continue to iterate likewise. So my hope is that all 15 guys or all the guys that come back are better. Maybe it doesn't mean we win 60 games, but we become a better team. I think I said last year, like, if we come back and we're the sixth seed next year, but we have a chance to put ourselves in position to win the first round and play in the second round, then we'd be extremely happy. We did a lot more than that. We put ourselves in a position to not only be in the second round, but one game away from being in the third in the Eastern Conference Finals. So that's obviously the goal of these guys. They wanted to win eight games and be playing tomorrow. So that's what's going to be on their mind all summer. Obviously, that's what's going to be on our minds.
I didn't mean it from the seeding standpoint. I meant it from a team that's built for the second season as opposed to the first season, since they seem to be so distinct, the playoffs and the regular season.
I know what you meant.
Okay. Do you have to address that to be more in tune with the second season?
I think, as I said before, we'll address things where we feel we can get better.
With the impact of NIL affecting who decides to stay in the draft, did the pick swap you got with Minnesota insulate you from some of that impact, do you think? In other words, there seems to be a cutoff point if guys feel they're going to be in the lottery or top 20, maybe they'll stay in. Is moving from 28 to 21 maybe insulate you from that?
It wasn't on the top of our minds when we did the deal. But I think now, given what has transpired in the last month,
that's going to help for sure. I do think there's a line between 21 and 28 where the talent differs. It definitely changes. So we're happy that we were able to get that deal done. But I think at the time, the
prospect of NIL was not something we just feel move up five spots, you're going to get a have a chance to get a better player.
Were you handcuffed last year in the offseason by the Beasley situation and maybe even J.I. situation?
J.I., I wouldn't say I was handcuffed. I think we wanted him back, and we didn't really have a choice, right? We knew he was going to come. Well, we thought he was going to come back healthy. We planned on him coming back and probably not being the player that he was pre-injury right away. But again, it was a broken ankle. People come back from that fine. It takes time. But we were excited about getting him back. And obviously the Bees situation was difficult. Getting word on it days before free agency and having to pivot. And I thought we pivoted well. But yeah, losing a type of player like that that was so instrumental to our success the year before would have been helpful. But things happen, and those are things you can't control. You just have to make the best of it.
Is that still under
control? Would you want him back potentially next season?
I mean, I can't comment on that. He's still under investigation.
Trajan, aside from development of the core, which is obviously critical, what are a couple of the things that you think that the group, your team, needs the most?
No, that's a good question. I think, more ball handling you can have on the floor, the better. I think you see these teams that are successful have a lot of people that can whether it's initiate bringing the ball up or actually execute in the half court in terms of getting paint touches and making decisions. I think the more guys like that you have, the more difficult it is to guard. So we'll look at some of those things. And I think just spreading the floor and shooting, I think, helps. I think everybody knew that was something that we were going to that we might struggle with a little bit. And so I think addressing some of those things could help. But again, those things are hard to find, and they're expensive sometimes, and sometimes other teams don't want to part ways with it.
Just a quick follow-up. I assume you watched last night. Does that change in any way how you think about the future?
Put a 7'6 alien and going to find him that can drop 40 and 20? No, that doesn't change anything.
When Durant went to Golden State, there were some executives that talked about how they rethought a little bit about what the next few years are going to look like. I don't know.
Not for me. I mean, it's put together the best team that we feel we can compete at the highest level. You never know what's going to happen. And just do the best that we can, putting together that roster, developing it, becoming the best team that we can, let the chips fall where they may.
The step that Danis Jenkins took this season, how does that kind of, did that shift your outlook at all and how much he can impact this franchise moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, at this time last year, he barely played any basketball. So if he takes a similar leap in the summer that he took last year, who knows how he'll impact us. But I think we saw his growth over the summer. We had a really good summer league last season. You saw his growth over the course of this season and how he impacted, won us a lot of games, and then helped in our playoff run. So I think all that is big for his growth. He is a worker. He's determined. He's not scared. So I have no I know he's going to have a big summer in terms of work and come back a better player when we come back here in the fall.
At one point, Kate said he wasn't quite 100% during the playoffs. Where do you think he's at now? Do you think he wore down at all a little bit just because he wasn't able to have much of a ramp up in terms of conditioning for the playoffs?
Yeah. No, I'm glad you asked that question. I thought Kate was an absolute warrior. I certainly haven't gone through a collapsed lung. I can't imagine many people in this room have, and especially a collapsed lung and fractured ribs at the same time, and really getting no ramp up going into the most intense part of the season. He played three games, and when you have a collapsed lung, you can't do anything for 7 to 10 days. You're sitting on a couch and you're making sure that you're just relaxing. And so that deconditioning just happens, and it's deconditioning at the exact wrong time of the year when you're heading into playoffs, and especially with what we ask from him. So for him to get back to the place where he was playing at a high level and leading our team, and both on and off the floor and playing both ends, a lot was asked for him in a short amount of time. So for him to do what he did, he was an absolute warrior, and for that we're all appreciative. But what he did is not easy.
Speaking of injury, was Isaiah Stewart hurt? And if not, is there any explanation of how he lost some of his defensive effectiveness? Does it look like he didn't have a lot of lift that he normally has, especially defensively?
Yeah, no, Stu was not hurt. Again, like, I give Stu a ton of credit as well. Like, I think he had, if I do the math right, he had the suspension going into All-Star, didn't play for 7 or 8 games, came back, played for 4 or 5, and then he had the injury to his calf, which kind of set him out for a few weeks, and then again only had, again with a calf injury as well, you got to be very cautious with it, and so you almost have to shut him down as well. So I think there's some slight deconditioning at the wrong time of the year, and he only had 2-3 games to get back ready for the most intense basketball of the season. And so I don't think he was at the height of his conditioning, but he came in and gave us what he could at that time as well, but he was healthy.
Two-part question. One, from your point of view, how beneficial has Tobias Harris been for this organization over the last 2 seasons? And two, what can you share about how you guys will go about bringing him back, decide whether or not to bring him back?
Yeah, Tobias has been great. Like, I thought he was hot. He played some of his best basketball with us in these postseason games. But his approach, his professionalism, has been huge in terms of us establishing the environment that we have in the past 2 years. There's not a day he doesn't come to work. There's not a day that he doesn't do extra work, pre-practice, post-practice, everything. He's obviously in the community, one of the finalists for the community award. For the league, we're very proud of what he does for us, for this organization, for this city, and he's very proud of it as well. And there's, it's hard to put in words what he has done for this organization and for our young players. They call him Unc for a reason. He comes in, he leads in a variety of ways that nobody will ever see. Or ever feel, but our guys do, and we do as an organization every day. So, yeah, we appreciate everything he's brought, and we hope that we can bring him back. He's somebody that we want to keep in a Pistons uniform.
In terms of potential trades, are there a high amount of people you consider untouchable? Are you able to share who those might be?
Look, we'll look at everything, but I mean, you guys can do the math.
Trajan, once the steam wears off of the season, when you look at the 30,000 foot of the franchise and draft capital you have, financial assets you have, the youth of the roster, all that, as a GM, does that excite you going into an off season and have all those tools at your disposal?
Yeah, I think yes. We still have some optionality. I think if you see obviously JD and AT will be expensive. And once that happens, the optionality decreases, but right now we have some things that we can look at, and we'll look at everything, and we'll try to determine what things we can execute on that make us better and what things we can't, or what things are the best path to go down, not only for next year but also building forward. Those are the things we have to look at too. This isn't a 1-year thing. Thing that I've always said is sustainability in terms of our being competitive. And so we have to keep that in mind as well, and not just say, okay, we're going to just do this next year just because of what happened. No, it also impacts our future planning, and so we're going to be very mindful of that.
Trajan, what do you think is the biggest thing you learned about your team through the playoffs, beyond the postseason, beyond the regular season, but through the playoffs? Was there something that you had to see that you saw one way or the other?
Pretty resilient group, I'll tell you that. That's the biggest thing I saw. These guys stayed together in a time when their backs up against the wall. Everybody thought it was over, and we're down 3-1, and we're down 24 in the second quarter in Orlando. I'm sorry, in the second half. that's the biggest thing I learned. And we've been resilient all year. We're young, like I said, it's the youngest one seed. And the emotional sway of series of games, if you haven't been through it as a player or as a group, is difficult to understand. And definitely if you haven't been through it as an athlete, you can't understand how emotions can impact the fatigue factor of preparation for games. And the older you are, the more you understand and the more you can prepare for it. And when you feel it, you know how to respond to it. And our guys probably experienced a lot of new things in 2 7-game series that they never had before, individually and as a unit. And I know they'll learn from it and we'll all grow and come back better.
Hey, Trajan, do you believe your team currently, you keep saying how young it is, can they be championship caliber with the core you have right now, or do you need to make a so-called big move? Can you be championship caliber without a major addition?
Man, I wish I was clairvoyant. I think so. Yeah. I mean, look, you're always going to, I think you're always going to iterate your team a little bit every year to get better, right? No team is going to look exactly the same the next year that it did the previous year. Even if it's all 15 guys back, you're going to be different, right? For some reason, whether experience, whether there's an injury, whether somebody else got better and beat somebody else out. And so for us, it's always, if it's adding a person or just getting better internally, we're always going to feel like we get better. And that's the goal, is to be a championship contender. And so that's what we're always thinking. We didn't think it would come this fast, these questions about being a championship contender after year two. And so we have to factor that in the equation as well. It's like 2 years ago when I took the job, I didn't think, nobody in here thought I'd be getting championship contender questions 2 years later. But here we are. And it's just, again, I've always talked about skipping steps. And it's not, we always take that into factor too. We don't want to do that, and I don't think we have. And we'll look forward to what steps to take to continue to get better. And, you know, for our guys, which is the most important thing, is they're thinking about a championship.
Hey, Cajun, one thing they were talking about, and a lot of people were talking about, was K's turnover rate in the playoffs and whatever. And some of the turnovers were just things that you normally wouldn't see him do. Was that a mental grind of the season? Was it a, like you said earlier, him physically getting back into the game, or was it a team thing where they were putting too much on him at that time?
That's a good question that you'd have to ask him, to be honest with you. He gave a lot to this team on both sides of the floor all season. We put a lot on him, and he responded in an incredible way. So I don't really want to focus on the negatives. What he did for this team, organization, franchise, city was incredible this season. So some of the mistakes he made, did they impact us? Yes, but we're not in that position if he hadn't done what he did.
How would you sort of assess Ron Holland's season, and I guess what's the next step for him look like to have a bigger role?
Yeah, I thought Ron took a step. You guys got to remember he's still 20 years old. Not many fifth picks in the draft are playing at this level, where they're have to play a role. A lot of them just get thrown out and they get to succeed or fail kind of on the fly, and they don't get put in a box. And I think he has a particular role that he got a lot better in and excelled in rotationally on a 60-win team, which I think is going to be great for him going forward. Do I think he was disappointed that they lost his rotation? Rotational spot in the playoffs, and I just think it will put fire under his belly to work. He is a worker. He is a high-level competitor, high-level person. So I see him being better and really competing and making sure that this doesn't happen again.
The landscape of the East could be a little bit more treacherous next year as certain players return to full health on certain teams. Does the idea that the path might be more challenging have to inform or impact the way you guys approach this offseason?
Yes, in a way that we have to be have a clear understanding of the landscape of the league. Yes, we don't want to go in and just focus strictly on our team, but again, how do we get better is going to be the most important thing. whether it's externally, whether it's through trade, whether it's through draft, whether it's adding a piece in free agency. I think we'll turn over all those stones, and we'll make the decision that we feel is best to compete at the highest level. And I do agree with you. I think the Eastern Conference will probably be stronger next year, but I don't think it wasn't strong this year, as was indicated by our first round matchup.
Trajan, get back to Cade for a second. Last year, we sat here and you talked about his offseason plan and what he needed to do. And I think one of the keys was the wind, the stamina, the strength, sort of get him to absorb contact, get in the hole, and maybe tighten the handle a little bit. He did all of those things. What would you like to see? What are the goals for this summer coming back next year?
Man, he was a load this year. I think he will learn from the 14 games we played in the postseason. And again, like, he was put in a really, really difficult position coming back off of not being able to do much for 14 days. Like, at that time of the year, like, everybody's in elite shape, and he's trying to get back to where he was. I thought he was in incredible shape and getting ready to explode in the postseason when what happened in Washington, and it really set him back. And I know it frustrated him a lot because he didn't get to be his best self. Nobody can in that situation. But he'll learn from it. He's probably going to look at everything and say, I got to be more efficient just overall. And I think all of our guys do. The more efficient you are, the better chance and less mistakes that we make. And it's not just him. I think it's how we are as an entirety, as a team, and I think we're all going to look at each other in the mirror and say, how do we get better?
Trajan, Bebop Paul has stepped up for this team in a lot of ways, and then obviously to have a bigger role in the postseason. Just what's been your evaluation of him over the last 2 years, and then moving forward as well?
Consummate professional, in and out of the lineup this season, and it didn't matter when his number was called, whether he was a starter, whether he was rotational, whether he was doing spot minutes, or help when we're down a lot of points, he comes in and helps save the day, get us back in the game and win games at times. So consummate professional who's gotten better. He's a better player now than he was when we got him off waivers 2 years ago. But a great teammate, a great person, loves the game, passionate about the game. Lucky to have him.
When did you realize that this team was going to take the step this year that it did, from 44 wins to 16, from the sixth seed to the first seed? What do you feel like the biggest reason for those strides was?
How many did we win in a row? 14 or 15? Back in November, December? 13? It's probably around the time that I knew we were a little bit different. Continuity, I think, helped for sure. I think this, what these guys did in the off season. I think the pain of losing in the playoffs really drove them. I think they had a feeling that we could take a step. And the way that they came back, they all came back different. You could tell that they'd all worked, and the mindset was different. The focus was different, and they took that right into the season. So that's why that was when I saw it early. Did I think it would equal 60 wins? Even after we went through that winning streak, I still didn't think it would equal 60 wins. That's an incredible feat, and I don't think one that's been done here in almost 20 years. So, again, by a really young team. So there's a lot of success, a lot to build on. A lot to be proud of, but we're not going to rest on our laurels. We're going to continue to work and figure out how we can get done. I keep saying it. How can we work to get better? And I'm always going to be of that mindset.
All right.
Thanks,
guys.
Thank you.